Before we get to our What If We're Wrong? Exercise today, there's a cultural and creator economy story that threads through everything we've been discussing. The Mr. Beast Google deal is an obvious anchor, but it sits inside a broader shift in how influence is being monetized. Mr. Beast's deal with Google is reportedly valued in the hundreds of millions of dollars over multiple years, which makes it one of the largest individual creator deals ever structured. That's a number that would have seemed science fiction 5 years ago for a YouTube creator.
It reflects something structural happening in media economics. Mr. Beast's audience is not just large. It's young, globally distributed, and spending increasing time on YouTube and short-form video rather than traditional television. Brands that want to reach 14 to 24-year-olds are discovering that a Mr. Beast integration outperforms a Super Bowl ad on attention, recall, and genuine engagement. Google is essentially buying wholesale access to that distribution channel, while also legitimizing Gemini in a context where the product actually has to perform on camera, not just in a press release.
There's also a reality TV adjacent dynamic where the content itself, wilderness survival challenges, impossible logistics problems solved in real time, is designed to showcase AI assistance in ways that feel organic rather than scripted. If Gemini genuinely helps Mr. Beast plan a survival scenario on screen, that's a product demonstration more credible than any ad. If it fails visibly, that's a risk Google is accepting.
The creator economy story intersects with the ex-Google engineer sentencing, because both speak to how much value is concentrated in AI intellectual property right now. The engineer allegedly stole chip design and LLM architecture data, assets that are worth billions not because of what they are today, but because of what they enable for whoever holds them. Mr. Beast's deal is worth hundreds of millions because his audience is worth billions in advertising value to Google. The same concentration of value is what makes AI IP theft attractive and AI creator partnerships expensive.
All right, we do our What If We're Wrong exercise here, and today's most confident claim in the public discourse is the AI infrastructure bubble thesis, specifically Altman's assertion that NeoCloud GPU buildout is running ahead of demand and that some startups are going to fail. This has been nodded along to pretty broadly today, so let's stress test it.
I'll push back on my own intuition here. The argument for Altman being wrong is basically this. AI compute demand projections have consistently undershot reality over the past 3 years. Every time analysts modeled how much GPU capacity would be needed to train the next generation of models, the actual requirements exceeded the forecast by a significant margin. GPT-4 consumed more compute than predicted. The jump to frontier-scale models has been steeper than any roadmap anticipated. If that pattern continues, if AI capability improvements continue driving exponential compute demand, then what looks like overcapacity today is actually undersupply against the 2028 demand curve.
That's a real argument. The counterpoint that I'd hold onto is the revenue side. Altman isn't disputing that compute will be needed eventually. He's saying the NeoCloud startups don't have the contracted revenue to survive long enough to be there when demand catches up. It's a liquidity and timing argument, not a technology argument. You can be right about long-run demand and still go bankrupt waiting for it.
But here's where I genuinely wonder if we're both wrong in a different direction. What if the demand surge comes from an application category we're not modeling clearly? Enterprise AI adoption is still early. Most large companies are running pilots, not deployed production workloads. If enterprise deployment accelerates faster than the 2028 consensus timeline, NeoCloud companies that look like distressed assets today could be fully subscribed within 18 months.
The specific indicator to watch is contracted versus speculative capacity. If NeoCloud operators start reporting multi-year take-or-pay contracts from hyperscalers or large enterprises, not letters of intent, not pilots, but binding revenue commitments, that would suggest the demand is arriving faster than Altman's warning implies. Conversely, if you see more than two or three NeoCloud operators failing to refinance their debt in Q1 2027, that's evidence his warning was prescient.
We'll put that in the calendar. Watch for NeoCloud refinancing news in the first quarter of next year. That'll tell us more about who's right here than any CEO comment at a conference.